Greetings in Jesus' precious name. I'm too thankful that we can gather together in his name. We're here to worship him. God spoke to me this morning as Brother Steve was giving the comments here, the closing comments about how we could possibly deny Christ. And oftentimes, you know, we look at denial and how Peter denied Christ. But that aspect of not speaking a word for Christ when God gives us that opportunity, I connected with that. And there's times in my life that I knew after the person left our conversation that I should have said something for Christ because he had opened the door, and I didn't. And the question is, so what do we do with that? And I think it's wise for us to ask God to forgive us for those times. I have done that. And that just happened this morning sitting up here in the front bench. Probably most of you don't know, there was a vehicle pulled in here, was sitting out here, and they had the hood open, and I noticed it, and two young fellows, and so they were there trying to do what they needed to do, I guess, and after a while they shut the hood and sat in the vehicle and sat there, and it just hit me like, you know what, I should go out and invite them to come into church. And I wrestled with that. I'm like, well, really? What's the deal? And I'm like, no, God brought them here. They're sitting in the church parking lot. And if they were in my parking lot at Jonestown Ag, I would invite them to come into Jonestown Ag. Why? Because hopefully maybe they would buy something. I mean, if somebody pulls in my parking lot at my house, we go out to find out what they want. So I'm like, you know, I need to go do this. I need to go out and invite them to come into church. And so I went back to Brother Steve and said, hey, you know, this vehicle's out here. Should we go out and invite them in? Well, Scott had already talked to them, but we decided to go out and talk to them. Brother Steve got some tracks, and we went out and shared with them that they're welcome to come in, and maybe they need a drink or use a restroom or something, and shared. And they thanked us for that, and they said their friends are coming, and they... And sure enough, that just as we were walking away, the vehicle came up that was their friend. And the driver saw us walking away. And he leaned way over and just waved at us and was thanking us for interacting with their friends. And they had two dirt bikes behind their vehicle. And I assumed they were going to go ride dirt bike. And I said, be safe. They said, yeah, we'll try. Now you say, well, what's that? Listen, brothers and sisters, we need to take those opportunities. Because you never know what those young men are going to face down the road. And they're going to remember driving past this Swatara Mennonite Church. Some people went out and invited them in, showed some kindness. You never know what's going to happen. And so as I wrestle with life like that, I ask myself the question, so was that the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me to go out there, or was that just some whim? Or something else. I want to believe this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to be our guide and wants to show us every day of our life how to interact with people that he puts on earth with us. And this song that we sang, thank you, brother, for bringing this song to our attention and singing, Hover Over Me, Holy Spirit. I am weakness, full weakness, at thy sacred feet I bow. Best divine, eternal spirit, fill me with power and fill me now. Just some beautiful words. And so as I was pondering what to preach on, I was praying about it and seeking God and went different directions. And I have a folder at home that has a number of sermons in that I didn't preach here at Swatara, and I went through them, and nothing really settled on real heavy, and I sought the Lord, and then I remembered that we missed a Sunday school lesson in August, the first Sunday of August, we had Youth Institute, and so I opened the Sunday school book, and August 4th, it says, He shall give you another comforter. And so we didn't have the blessing of sitting together as brothers and talking about the Holy Spirit and the Comforter. So I plan to preach a message on the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. And it's, you know, when I opened the scripture and looked at some other writings on the work of the Holy Spirit, this is an overwhelming subject. I can't give justice to it in the next 40 minutes. But I just want to somehow inspire us this morning to connect, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and guide us and show us how to live and how to interact with people and how to deal with my own selfish nature and how to receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. And in my weakness, I'm going to try and share to inspire us, because we're not just doing life on our own. And this lifestyle that we have I like what Brother Steve shared, Steve Jones in Sunday school. When people ask him who he is, he said, I don't know the exact words, but he said, I'm a Christian, but by denomination, I'm a Mennonite. I like that. I'm not ashamed to be a Mennonite. But brothers and sisters, what you're doing in your life needs to be more than a Mennonite denomination. It needs to be of the Holy Spirit doing a work in your life. Steve told us a story how the preacher's wife back in the day took her covering off, and it was only a few weeks, a number of the sisters took their covering off. What went through my mind is that, so, I guess that those people thought that's Mennonite. What about the Holy Spirit? I thought our sisters wear coverings because of the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Not because the church says so. We're going to think through these things a little bit this morning. We're not just living our way of life because, sure, our upbringing and our teaching has an effect, but I trust that we're endeavoring to live out the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and guiding us and comforting us. So the message title is The Holy Spirit, Our Abiding Comforter. The Holy Spirit's not something that we see the effects. I think we feel it in our human spirit. I believe that what makes a man a living soul is God gives every human being a spirit. That takes place at conception, and that spirit makes a person a living soul. But when the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit, when we become Christians, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and joins with our spirit and does a work in our life and guides us and shows us a way. Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Christ, that we may also glorify Christ. I read that verse quite often, and I never stopped and really pondered what verse 17 means. If children, then heirs of God. You know, we think of getting an inheritance. You get an inheritance from usually somebody. Maybe it could be a parent or a friend, and they give you an inheritance. You receive something from them. This verse tells us that God becomes our inheritance. He tells us that through Jesus Christ, God comes and is part of us. And that happens through the Holy Spirit. God comes and dwells with us. It's the Holy Spirit at work in the Christian. And that just means so much that God becomes our inheritance. God is with us. It's Brother Brendan mentioned grace and mercy. It's receiving grace. It's receiving mercy from God the Father. Now, thinking about the Holy Spirit, I just pondered a little bit different directions I wanted to go with this sermon. And my mind went to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm not going to stay there. But it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And you have the fruit of the Spirit. It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I think every Christian, as we look at Galatians 5 and we read that scripture on the fruit, every one of us would need to say that we have weakness. Just like the psalm writer said, in our weakness we need strength. I think a suffering long suffering, as I look at my own life, I have to admit that I don't like suffering. And I don't like suffering long. But he says suffering long is the fruit of the Spirit. So as we wrestle with life and we discover our weakness, discover our shortcomings, I pondered the fact that the scripture uses the word fruit. And you look at fruit, and fruit has its different stages. There's they say four or five different life stages or stages in a fruit, like a peach or a pear. But in all those stages, it's still fruit. So I want you to know this morning, as you look at your life and you see weakness and you see that you're maybe coming up short on fruit of the Spirit, don't give up. Just keep on pressing on. Keep on acknowledging your weakness. Keep on acknowledging that you need direction from the Holy Spirit, because yeah, fruit will mature. Because you can pick fruit that's green and unripened, but it's still a pear. We can go buy a green pear and it's still a pear. You can buy a fruit. And so I want you to know this morning that God knows that. God wants us to mature. God wants us to grow. We have different life stages, and maturity takes time. And so we understand that. And so we look at obviously, if we claim to have the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be fruit. There's fruit, right? Holy Spirit fruit. But it could be that it needs some more maturity and some growth and some time. And we're all right with that. That's why God calls it fruit. We can open your Bibles to John chapter 14. I want to read some scriptures here in regards to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's what our Sunday school lesson was on. John 14 and John 16. And I'm just going to take the time to read John 14, 15 through 31. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us or not, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you before, it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So, Jesus made it clear that he's going to leave his disciples, but he's going to send another comforter. That tells us that Jesus was a comforter. As Jesus walked among men, he brought comfort. He brought to man. Now, as I looked up the word comfort, that has a couple of different aspects to it. And the aspect that I want to talk about is, the first one is the comfort as a counselor. And I asked myself the question, so how does the Holy Spirit give us counsel? Ask yourself that question this morning. So how does the Holy Spirit comfort you? And just thinking of comfort is another aspect of being a counselor. How does the Holy Spirit counsel you? I mean, we know what counsel is, right? We talked about there's going to be counsel service. That's where we bear testimony. But there's times that we go for counseling. We may pick up the phone and we call somebody and we have a question for them. And we ask them a question. Now, what I want you to think about is the Holy Spirit being our counselor in life's experiences. If I may use, I didn't even run this by Brendan, but if I may use them as an example, a few weeks ago, they had an accident in Hamlin. Happened so fast, just like that. Now, just imagine, I don't know what was going on in the van before that, but just imagine there's frustration and anger and children not wanting them to get too close and you touch me and all that kind of stuff going on. And the reason I use that is because we raise children, okay? And I know how the vans can be sometimes, the inside of the van. But suddenly there's an accident. It suddenly changes the whole atmosphere, just like that. And the Holy Spirit wants to use those experiences to speak to us. They say, you know what? We could have been killed. We could have been hurt. And here we were carrying on like this. At Laura's funeral, as I was preaching, there was somebody sitting over there close to where Trent is sitting. And this lady didn't have control over her movements of her arms. And I saw it and I didn't really pay attention to it. But then as they came up to view the body, it became very obvious that this woman has some for struggles going on. And I didn't have any idea what it could have been. And then we asked at the meal, we asked. And she had a young man with him. I say young, middle-aged man. And became obvious that it was her husband. And here she has Huntington's disease. And so she has no control over her arms and her body gestures. And so then we went to get our food, and we were trying to figure out where to sit. And here this couple was sitting, and we had the opportunity to sit across from them. And I said, let's go sit across from them. I'd like to hear more about their story. And so we sat across from them, and she was directly across from me, and she was trying to eat, and that had its own struggles. But as we sat there, I started asking questions to the man and her husband, and he opened up and talked and shared about their story and how this developed. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I sat there and listened to them. Because there's times in my life, and I think it happens in your life, that we struggle with accepting what God calls us to go through. And we don't like it. And we start looking around and we say, well, these people don't have problems and life is going good for them. Look at that. And you start developing that resentment towards your present condition. And the Holy Spirit said to me that that's wrong. Accept your lot in life. Accept what God brings into your life. Because that young man there gave a testimony how he's walking the journey. And I blessed him. I said, I want to bless you for sticking by your wife at any cost. That's how the Holy Spirit works, and we must be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to our needs. That man didn't know what was going on in my heart, The Holy Spirit was working in my heart because of what they were going through. That's life. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to do that to us. When we don't allow that, when we shut that off, we grow colder and more indifferent and angry and resentful and bitterness sets in. The Holy Spirit is our counselor as we do life in life circumstances and life callings and the things that God allows into our life. Thinking about people being our counselors, there's times in life that we need counseling. But I just want to hold the word out and the plea here that be careful with where you go for counseling. The counselor needs to be a person that's guided by the Holy Spirit. Because we want Holy Spirit counseling. How can a person that's not guided by the Holy Spirit give you words of wisdom? And so the question is how do we know? How do we know if somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit? And well, one of the things is going by God's word. He makes it clear that it's all connected. Loving the Father, loving Jesus, the Word of God, it's all intertwined and connected. And so, but another thing that I want to bring out here is there's times that somebody will call us and ask for counseling. It could be a child, it could be somebody in church life, it could be a community person. They'll call and say, "Hey, you know, what do you think of this? How do I know that I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit in my counseling?" One of the things that I think that's imperative is that we don't go by our emotions. That we call that knee-jerk reaction. Be careful with that. Sometimes you hear something, and you're like, oh, no, just calm down. Let's allow the Spirit to work, not just my emotional response. And we need to allow the Spirit to work. A lot of times, what I think we need to do is take time and pray about it, especially in sensitive issues that come up in our life that we need counseling for, that we take time to pray and seek God to lead and to direct. And also those that may give counsel that we pray about and that you pray about things before you are quick to give counsel. One of the main things that hinders us from receiving the counsel of the Holy Spirit is found in verse 15 of John 14. This is on the positive. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The truth is that when we lack receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it's because we don't love him and we lack obedience. If I look back in my life, the times that I wasn't led of the Holy Spirit is because I wanted my own way. And that's imperative for everybody. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. But when I want my own way and I haven't figured out this is what I want, I shut off the Holy Spirit. It gets pretty quiet. But when we love God and we love him and we obey him, and we want his will, the Holy Spirit will guide us and speak to us. Now, there's another aspect about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will always lead us to the Heavenly Father's will. Always. See, Jesus said that I never do my will. His whole ministry wasn't his own will. He said, "I am following the will of my Heavenly Father." And he says, "I am the counselor, I'm your comforter, but I'm leaving, I'm sending you another comforter, and this comforter is going to lead you to the Heavenly Father." So when we're led by the Holy Spirit, it always leads us to a Heavenly Father. His will for our lives. So important that we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to the Heavenly Father. Well, comfort is received through receiving counsel. God uses people. There's times that we need somebody to talk to and that's all right. But it doesn't stop there. I want to hold out something here that I believe is important, that if somebody comes to you for counseling, and it's all right for them to share their heart, unbear their burdens, be confidential, But it's important that you lead those people to God, not to yourself. You lead those people to God, and through prayer and through allowing the Holy Spirit to work, because it's not us. It's not you, the counselor. It's God that does the work. And what's amazing when that happens, that person gets a hold of strength from the Heavenly Father. I can't give strength. You can't give strength. That strength comes from the Heavenly Father. We just sang the psalm that we're weak. And so when somebody comes to you for counseling or direction, whether it's a child or anybody, that you listen to them, but you help them back to God and build that relationship with Him, because He's the one who gives you strength. That happens through the Holy Spirit. And I believe today the reason there's many counselors are so busy because they're not leading people to God is to them, and they need to keep coming back. It is a connection. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and wants to give us that connection. It's so important to help that happen. It leads us to God. Well, I need to move on. Think about the Holy Spirit abiding with us. As we observe the deterioration in our society, I often wonder how can people begin to support direct disobedience to God's word? God's word makes it clear what He's going to do, the judgments of sin. And we have churches today that are endorsing practices of sin, and they're all right with it, and yet they claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, the truth is, the Holy Spirit is not abiding with them. It just isn't. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, he makes it very clear. 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." God, He's making it clear here that even the angels, even the fallen angels, God did not tolerate them. He says they sinned and God cast them out and they're reserved for judgment. "He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And then in verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." He's giving us these examples. He's giving us the word of God. But yet people claim to have the Holy Spirit and make excuses for these sins. It's not true. The Holy Spirit does not do that. The Holy Spirit is not guiding those people. The Holy Spirit is clear that this is the judgment of God. And so the Holy Spirit is not abiding. Abiding means present. Abiding means alive. It means active. The presence of God is alive. We cannot claim to be led of the Spirit and be persistent in fulfilling the works of the flesh. I know that we have our struggles and we have our failures, but we can't persist on that way of lifestyle and claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The lifestyle of sin. Galatians chapter 5. I'm just going to read those verses. You can listen carefully. You're welcome to turn to it if you like to. I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. Galatians 5, 15 through 18. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That means you will not give yourself over to persistent living in the flesh. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." I'll stop there. There's something like being led of the Spirit being abiding with us. Romans 8 is another scripture I want to read. Just brings it clear that if we have the Holy Spirit abiding with us, we're not going to indulge in the works of the flesh. In Romans 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in this flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man had not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. He just makes it clear. If you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning, you're not part of God's kingdom. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Like I mentioned, our lifestyle, I trust the way you're ordering your life is not because only because you're part of the Mennonite denomination. Your lifestyle needs to be because you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Life. Do you have life this morning? The Holy Spirit is alive in you. The Holy Spirit abiding with us. It abides with us. It's at home with you. It's comfortable with you. Because you are allowing him to guide you and direct you. Well, let's think about the next point is the Holy Spirit being our teacher. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So what's Jesus teaching here? And I believe he's teaching that, and there's a couple of different things. I'm going to bring it out here. But the first thing I want to bring out is a teacher desires a change. School just started. We got a few school teachers here. You have a beginning date in school and you have an end date in school. And between the beginning date and the end date, you expect change to take place, right? You expect that your students are going to learn things in that period of time that when they came to school, they didn't know. But by the end of school, of this school season, they're going to know. So there's got to be change taking place. And we get caught in this because we don't like the change. When the preachers talk about changing and growth, I remember being a teenager. And a preacher would talk about that we need to grow, we need to change. And Aaron Shank would say that we live in the biggest room and that's room for improvement. And I didn't like that. I squirmed under that because I didn't like that. I wanted to just stay the same. So if you're a teenager here, you're probably struggling with what the preacher's saying or going to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. We need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. The teacher will not feel good if the students come into his schoolroom and at the end of the school, they don't know anything more than what they did when they first came. That's not success. That's not. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The reason the Holy Spirit is our teacher is because he wants to take us from the first day of our Christian life to the last day of our Christian life. But between there and here, there needs to be a change that takes place. Teacher motivates. Teacher inspires. That's the Holy Spirit. We have report cards that go home with the student, and the student needs to get their parent to sign the report card, meaning the parent looked at it. And they make their evaluation. And sometimes the parent says, "What's going on here? Things are going the wrong direction." And they need some parental direction. And so, we try and do that in church life. That's why we have counsel service, and that's why we have accountability groups, and that's why we have brotherhood, because we need accountability. And there's times that somebody needs to say, "Hey, you know what? You need to do better here. Things need to be improved. Things are going the wrong direction."
The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Steady growth. The battle will rage on. Every Christian is in school. We're in school. Now, another thing that Jesus, I believe, is teaching here is that he was no longer going to be present. He says, "And he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." He realized that there's a human aspect that we forget things. And he was talking to his disciples. He said, "Now, I taught you a lot of things." And I believe that Jesus taught the disciples a lot of things that we actually don't even have written down in the Holy Scriptures. They spent a lot of time together talking. And he's saying, "I'm going to leave, but the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance the things that I taught you." Very important aspect. And I want you to listen carefully, because we have this teaching that surfaces sometimes that we as a church should just take the four Gospels and just work that out. Just the four Gospels, and that's what we should base our church life on. I disagree with that. I think the whole canon of Scripture is for us, but particularly the New Testament is for the church age. The letters that were written by the apostles as they took what Jesus taught them, and as the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance the teachings of Christ, and they wrote letters to the churches. They were making applications to the principles that Jesus taught, and the book of Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Romans were written by the apostles, right? And that's what he's bringing that to remembrance. Now, some people will say that, well, Paul wasn't an apostle. He was not an eyewitness. I want to take you, and I want you to turn there. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to share with you what Paul says here, and then there's another scripture you want to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. First Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And I'll stop there. He makes it clear that they are being led by the Holy Spirit as they write these letters to the churches, which we have. Now, going over to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not of man. For I received not it of man." This is Paul writing to the Galatians. He says, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." I believe Apostle Paul had revelation of Jesus Christ. "For ye have heard of my conversations in times past in the Jews." Actually, I'm going to jump to verse 16. "To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So Paul, I believe, had revelation from God. And so therefore, what he wrote is for us today. It's from the Holy Spirit, from God. And so we take the scripture, we take Jesus' teachings, we take the apostles' writings, and we take those principles and we try and make them apply them to our church life and how we live. That's why we believe 1 Corinthians 11 and all the different scriptures that we have church life built on is valid, because we believe that Paul had revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we believe the letters written by the apostles hold authority in for us today. So the next point I have, what does it mean that Holy Spirit is our guide? This is my last point, I believe. Close to the last ones. What does it mean the Holy Spirit is our guide? God knows the way, places that we never went. He's our guide. We never lived today before. So the Holy Spirit's our guide. He shows us the way. He guides us. He has experience. He knows how to navigate the unexpected. I wouldn't want to live on earth life without the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't want to live without the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Romans 8:14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we live life to please God. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. He guides and shows us what sin is. What is righteousness? We can look at John 16, verse 8. It says that it shows us what 16, verse 8. It says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit will do that. It guides us in all truth. God's word is truth. But truth has many different aspects. You know, we say God's word is truth, but what about us being truthful about our own journey of life? What about us just being honest with who we are? The Holy Spirit wants to do that. What about the times when you lay down at night and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you? Being honest with that. Being aligned the Spirit to speak truth into your life, into my life. Is so important. What about the blind spots in our life? Now, I had to think of the new vehicles these days. They have what they call guidance systems, the modern vehicles, and they have what they call blind spot sensors. And they also have lane departure sensors and many other sensors. But just think about the blind spot sensors. Do we have blind spots in our Christian life? Of course we do. We know that. I don't see all my needs. The Holy Spirit does it. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring them to remembrance and bring them to mind. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. Now, if I have a vehicle that has a blind spot sensor, and I'm backing up and it starts alerting me, and I don't pay attention to that, you would say that's foolish, right? Because I'm going to back into the post. I'm going to damage my vehicle. But we as people of God, we don't pay attention to those sensors too often. And I just want to plead with you this morning, pay attention to the blind spot sensors that the Holy Spirit wants to activate in your life. What about the lane departure? You have these sensors that you're driving down the road, you start drifting over to the other lane, and the seat starts to vibrate, the wheel starts tugging a little bit. And so in our Christian life, I think the Holy Spirit wants to be that sensor of the lane departure sensor, and wants to shake us up, alert us. So if I'm just driving down the road and my departure sensor, lane departure sensor starts vibrating my seat, and I say, oh, I don't care what that says, I'm just going to let it go. You would say that's foolish. But we can do that in our Christian life. We have sensors that tell us that, you know what, this activity is going to drift me off the lane, off the narrow way. It's going to drift me into the broad way. And we say, well, we're going to try it anyway. We hope it works out. Listen, let the Holy Spirit that dwells within us help us to be sensitive to those drifting tendencies that we have. allowing the world to show us or to deceive us and to lead us away. Well, corrective action is required. If you're not going to continue drifting, corrective action needs to take place. In closing, the last point I have, the last point is the Holy Spirit enables us to live a life that pleases the Lord. John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know, the Holy Spirit is a dispenser of peace. You know, it's amazing how Christians can live in times of hardship and difficulties and uncertainties and have peace. That's not something that we manufacture. It's not something that we make up ourselves. You know, as I look at the climate of the world, and I'm not talking about climate as the weather. I'm talking about the whole thing that's going on in the world, the unrest. I have peace. Because I know it's in God's hands. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wants to give you peace. It dispenses peace. It's a peace dispenser. And so the Christian grieves different. The Christian responds different to the spoiling of their goods. And somebody takes advantage of you and you respond different. You respond different to an angry, selfish person. You return good for evil, or you a soft answer turns away wrath. Christian responds different to false accusations. If somebody falsely accuses you, you have to accept that and deal with that. And it's all right. It might not be all right for them, but it's all right for you to be falsely accused. And so that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our God. He dwells with us. It's light. It's living in the light. Because the Holy Spirit is living with us. Well, Romans 8, verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So the question I have for you this morning, if you do life, do you have life? The Holy Spirit wants to give you life and a purpose and fulfillment, and accept the things that God brings into your life that you can have joy and purpose and fulfillment and have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Let's pray.